Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Cowboys fans, who are you more afraid of, Keenan Allen or Justin Herbert? And I'm kind of curious how many Cowboys fans are afraid of Justin Herbert and are aware of how good he is. Now, Corey, what led you to this question?
I think there are multiple things here. How many other receivers do Cowboys fans know from the Chargers?
I don't want to speak for all of them, but I feel like not a lot.
I also think that Keenan Allen is underrated. I think he might be one of the most underrated receivers in the league. Now, there are going to be a ton of Tolos out there that are like, what are you talking about underrated? Everybody loves Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen even thinks he's underrated. Every time they talk about some of the best receivers in the league, Keenan Allen's like, man, I'm open a lot. I always have big numbers. Like, his numbers are always there. And I think that's because they play in Los Angeles, because of who they are, and he had Phillip Rivers, and it was like, okay, Phillip Rivers, we'll go back in his history. What did Phillip Rivers do? He would have one receiver, and he'd just be like, you're my dude, and I'm gonna pump the ball your way all day long. And I think that he's very underrated when it comes to the discussion of, is he one of the top receivers? And, you know, last year he had, what, 992 yards? Does he get enough touchdowns? No. Does he get a lot of receptions? Yes. There's a volume that comes with Keenan Allen. And, Kevin, when it comes to fourth down, third down conversions, if Justin Herbert has a second and Brandon Staley has a look at his eye, he'll just look at the Cowboys and go, yeah, I'll convert this third down because, A, Justin Herbert has the patience to do it all day on you, and, B, he's more than happy to go short and get Keenan Allen for a reception. So, and also, who's the matchup? Is Trevon Diggs the matchup against Keenan Allen that you're like, that one's the one that's going to stop? He did great against Michael Evans, right, or Mike Evans. And that was good.
Fancy.
And that was nice. But if Keenan Allen is going off, like, for, you know, 10 receptions, like Amari Cooper had, you know, his big number of receptions, that's not a good day for the Cowboys if they decide to leave him on him, or if they're saying, we're just going to move him all over the field and he's going to be effective no matter what.
And I just want to point this out real quick from the 214. F both of them. Chargers fans need to worry about Prescott and Cooper. Fair enough. And we talked about some of the defensive injuries and issues that the Chargers face, but I don't want them to fix that.
Right.
Like, I want them to be problematic, and I want us to work on fixing this.
Have you guys heard Kavanaugh this week talk about this situation and the decision Dan Quinn has? Do you do the Patriot way, and do you say, all right, we are going to put Diggs and follow Mike Williams, and we're going to trust that Diggs can kind of shut down.
It's interesting. I like this.
Mike Williams, and we're going to double team all game Keenan Allen. We're going to put on, obviously, Anthony Brown, who can't cover him to save his life. But he has help 100% of the time. So you are double teaming Keenan Allen the whole time and going, Diggs, you take the number two and we're going to trust you. We're not going to give you any help because we're going to concentrate 100% of our help 100% of the time to Keenan Allen with double teams. Or do you do it the other way and you go, look, we're going to kind of play the way that we played against Tampa Bay and kind of give help here and there.
I I think I'm inclined to go in that direction. It's interesting. Like, as soon as we started focusing in on Keenan Allen, and we can expand this, a whole bunch of people are like, I'm also afraid of Mike Williams. So I think that's one of the issues that comes along with the first part of it. From the 806 for Keenan Allen, Keenan Allen is the best route runner in the NFL. From the 214, Keenan Allen is a top six route runner, maybe top three, but Mike Williams on the deep threat scares me. Mm-hmm. And maybe scores you too. I don't know.
So do you know their stats from this year in the one games, Kevin? The one games, all right?
In the one games, did Herbert throw for like 300 yards?
Let's go to those receivers real quick. Okay. I wanted to go to those receivers. In the one games, mm-hmm. Keenan Allen had 9 receptions on 13 targets for 100 yards.
Okay. That was a lot of catches.
Right, so they were just moving the ball all over the place. Mike Williams, Kevin, had 8 receptions on 12 targets for 82 yards and a touchdown.
I'm honestly surprised that if he caught almost as many passes as Keenan Allen, that the yardage wouldn't be
a different.
Yeah.
But he got the touchdown too. And then against Jalen Guyton. I think that's your Allen boy, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he go to Allen High School? 3 receptions on 5 targets for 50 yards. Now, again, this is a defensive front that in Washington, that's one of the best. So what did they do? They said, we're not waiting for the 40-yard pass downfield all day. We're going to get this ball out of hands quickly on good routes. And I think just that this is the thing that I love about Justin Herbert so much when I watch him is we discussed this a little bit, his patience to hang in there just a little bit on that back foot before saying it's time to go ahead and deliver on these. And his trust in his arm. Like, the ball just jumps out of his hand. It really does. And watching him throw, though, he's waiting. He has the patience to know, my receiver will be there. That guy's going to be there. So that's where it kind of does come down to, will Keenan Allen beat you all day, or will this one quarterback just say, I'm spreading it out all over the field and taking advantage of every weakness they have?
I think that's why I'm saying Justin Herbert, and this is going to sound like an insane way to look at it, because if you lose consistent matchups to Keenan Allen, you could be in a lot of trouble, right? And those could be a lot of touchdowns. But to me, I'm like, okay, we could lose that battle with Keenan Allen. But on the flip side, when I think about the pressure, I'm like, okay, if we don't get pressure, we could lose so many different matchups across the field. And that's what I think I'm concerned about is if their marquee receiver beats you, like, that's just the way things go sometimes. But what I'm afraid of is maybe not as extreme as Mike's scenario where they run it all the way down to the 2-minute warning from the start of the quarter with no pressure. But yeah. I am concerned of
just one play.
Yeah.
It takes 13 minutes.
I am concerned of Justin Herbert just having all day and being able to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, again and again and again. So I think I'm going towards Herbert, who we've also seen can throw all over the yard.
Mm-hmm. From the 6-8-2, that's 1-team games, Corey. So I know Kevin's furious that just came out. I guess that's the other thing too. Like, will they be balanced offensively? Will the Chargers come out and say, we're going to be balanced, or will they say, man, why even try that?
We have to remember DeMarcus Lawrence is our best run defender too.
Exactly. And that is very concerning for me as well. But I also wanted to ask y'all a question about that. Do you think that anybody cares about balance if you win?
No. I mean, Kellen Moore said it the other day. He was like, you know, the yards are going to come. I don't care where they come from. We got to get the yards. That's all that matters. So whether it's Zeke getting those yards or, you know, this week or whatever, it doesn't matter to me as long as we get the win. Kevin, I think if they come out and they're running the ball early and they're like, we're going to run and see if this guy can stop us, I think they'll just say, well, we'll do that until they can't. And then we'll set up with play action, screens, and all those other things, too, if we have to. But I think they're going to attack whatever they think the biggest weakness of the Cowboys is and just do it until the Cowboys decided to rotate to try and stop it in some way.
And I think, to your point, Corey, what I really am truly concerned about is I just remember, and Deion wasn't the same because he had turf toe. I can remember at the end of his Cowboys career, and he went on and played a lot more seasons for Washington and Baltimore and stuff like that. But he struggled to guard Marvin Harrison. He couldn't. He actually couldn't cover Marvin Harrison. But part of the issue is Peyton Manning, this young kid in his second, third year, I think it was third year, when Peyton Manning destroyed us. We had no pass rush. We couldn't affect Peyton Manning's hurry-up time, right? He could take the ball. He could let guys run double routes and then go deep. And even the great Deion Sanders, he was a little bit hurt. He can't cover for 5 seconds. You can't ask the greatest cornerback of all time to cover for 5 seconds. It's just too long of a time to have to drape guys and cover guys. So I do think over the next 6 to 8 weeks, not just this game, but this game importantly, because I do think Justin Herbert is one of those special young quarterbacks. I don't think Jalen Hurts is. I know somebody's taking a shot on me on social media. I do like other quarterbacks. I just am not a big fan of Jalen Hurts. So I think you might be able to get away with it more in week three. I just don't know if you're going to be able to get away with giving Justin Herbert 4 to 7 seconds to figure out who to throw to.
From the 469, can we sign a defensive end, a decent one, if there's one available? So this news broke yesterday during G-Bag, so you know they were all over it immediately. And the discussion point was, I know on social media and on the show, is, well, if you sign somebody, it would be incredibly difficult to integrate them into this weekend's game plan. Like, how that plays out going forward, that's a different deal, but it would be really, really difficult to integrate them into this weekend's game plan. So that seems unlikely. And it kind of feels like whenever you talk about plugging the holes in the dam, is every time you plug up one, another one opens up. Because, yeah. Corey, you started off with, okay, are you more concerned about Keenan Allen and Justin Herbert? And you had like a whole bunch of votes for both. And then immediately it became, okay, well, what about Mike Williams? And then as soon as you were like, okay, well, here's the deal with that. Okay, what about Austin Eckler? So, like, it feels like every time, especially when Mike brought up DeMarcus Lawrence being our best run stopper, and, like, I guess you can kind of look at short passage stopper as well, is there's another potential issue for you.
And Kevin, I think that goes back to you're missing one other elite thing, and that is an elite GM. Like, to be able to make those things happen, to be able to make sure that you don't have those inequities or those deficiencies somewhere on your team, you have to have an elite GM that knows exactly how to make sure that they have the talent to make up for whatever is going to go wrong. Whenever those cracks in the dam come, it's not just them sticking their thumb in there, right? It's not just saying, hey, let's put a bubblegum patch over it. It's them saying, hey, we have another dam on the way. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. And I think that's something that's still missing with this team is that part of it. Like, why? Why are we missing those things? Why is it we can't be that team that you're like, you know what? The injury did happen, but I am not worried because next man up is a reality here and we're okay with it.
I hate going over this again and again because, like, it's just the way the Cowboys constructed their roster did not make any sense to me because it is top heavy salary cap wise. And that's not a breaking point. Like, there's teams that can succeed like that. It's just the issue always with the construction of the roster was I felt like you were top heavy salary cap wise without top heavy talent.
Yeah.
You know, like we talked about it. You had the, at least at the time, the second highest paid quarterback, the second highest paid wide receiver, and the first highest paid running back. At no point were any of those players at that level.
Right.
Like, you can argue, and he was awesome in his first game, is like Amari Cooper's like a fringe top 10 wide receiver. Okay, fair enough. You paid him the second most. Ezekiel Elliott right now, I mean, it's changing more and more, but, like, you know, he's a top 10-ish running back. Well, you paid him first, not that long ago. And Dak Prescott, I know it's kind of a different deal because quarterbacks always, like, whoever's next up usually gets the most money. And you already saw him get surpassed by Josh Allen. But when he got signed coming off an injury, like, I don't think you'd find people who said he was top five and you paid him the second most. And the issue with that is, to your GMing point, is that's where it makes a difference, is that million there, those couple million there, those couple million there. That buys you depth.
Mm-hmm.
And when you spend it all on your top-heavy players, same thing with DeMarcus Lawrence. You paid him the second most at a point where he definitely was not the second-best edge in the league. Well, guess what? When they get hurt, you don't have the depth behind them because of how you allocated that money.
Yeah, and Kevin, I got another question. With all these, like, things of, hey, we got to plug this hole, we got to plug this hole, this one's a concern, and I'm scared of this. When we roll out there, and Mike's brought this up, look, He had the ball for 13 minutes in the fourth quarter. Is that what it was, 13 minutes in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, they snapped the ball.
Yeah.
We're down by four.
Okay.
And then he holds the ball for 13 straight minutes as Nance and Romo.
Never mind. Hold on. No, we're down by two. Okay.
Just a cramp.
We're down by two. All right. Just remember this.
Yeah.
And he holds the ball for 13 minutes. But we get the ball back with 40 seconds left, Kevin.
Okay.
All right. Here's where we are. 40 seconds left. And we're at our own 35. All right. Because I don't know how we got the ball back. Now Dak makes the throws to get us into field goal position, Kevin. Do you trust this kicker to put one through the uprights from 15 yards out?
Okay,
one
well
five?
That would be amazing because
or
if it's from 15,
16 yards out.
That means they snap the ball from 1 yard inside the end zone. And I would like to hear everything about how that
okay,
scenario
right.
came to
you
be.
You just don't give them a lot of room. You mm-hmm. can just snap the ball. Like if you're on the goal line, you just snap the ball 4 yards instead of 7.5.
What I'm saying is we have all these other things to worry about.
Yeah.
And the kicker.
Wait, which kicker? You mean Liram Hirulahu?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, we need to get Mickey back. I know he got that name down.
That's all those things, and I'm still, there's still, like, whenever it comes to automatic points,
no.
I still have concerns.
I'll tell you this right now. I don't care what the scenario is. If it's fourth and less than five, to begin the game, just go for it. I do not want to go, we're up 3-0. No. Just go ahead and go for it. Let's see what happens. Let's get wild with our modern football on Sunday. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, which NFL Week 1 overreaction do you think is going to end up looking stupid by the end of the season? Talk about it next, plus Lucci right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll talk with Lucci Gonzalez in just a minute. But before we get to that, really wanted to get y'all's thoughts. 877-881-1053. What week one overreaction do you think is going to end up looking stupid? Is obviously Texans going 0-17 is already wrong. But if they go like 1-16, you wouldn't feel that dumb. But
I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, yeah, no, that you could definitely be right, and multiple Texans say they're out to prove the haters wrong or the doubters wrong. So is it that? Is it the Eagles are going to win the NFC East? Is it the Ravens are going to miss the playoffs? Like, what is something that people have overreacted to or reacted to in week one that you're like, that's going to look dumb?
Man, you just threw a bunch of them out there that I was considering.
From the 2-4, it's easily the Eagles being overrated. Atlanta is just that bad, and people will come to realize that.
Football is a game that's played in the trenches, and that's a team that has some good players on the line, on both of their lines, offensive and defensive. So, I mean, if the quarterback play is high, we were questioning that in the offseason. If the quarterback play is high, that could be something that's scary.
I'm so fascinated and interested in the Aaron Rodgers saga.
Oh yeah.
And it's turned into a saga now. I think every fantasy owner out there that has Aaron Rodgers is like, this isn't real, right? Like what just happened isn't real. And I have this theory, Kevin, that he is kind of like, I'm going to go out there and stink so bad.
Uh-huh.
That they have to play the kid that they drafted to be my replacement, and he's not going to be able to do it. And so I'll come back and save him. I have this theory. I don't know if he's going to do it against Detroit, though. He's got the longest active Monday Night Football winning streak at 7, and I think Russell Wilson's coming in at like 4. So,
really?
I don't think he's going to let that go, and I don't think he's not going to beat the Lions. But I think that the Aaron Rodgers saga and the overreaction there is going to be like, oh, okay. When Aaron Rodgers decides he wants to play again, or when he decides he wants to be interested. But I think it is overblown and people are going to look bad on that end. I also think the Titans are going to make people go, hold on, were we wrong about this team all along again this week?
Oh,
yeah.
You think they're going down in flames?
I think they're playing Seattle, and Seattle can expose them on defense again.
Wow.
Although they'll be able to recover from it.
From the 2-4 overreaction is Jalen Hurts being a franchise quarterback. For me, this person from the 682 agreed with you. Everything in Green Bay is an overreaction at this point. I get that. To me, it's already the chatter about the Ravens are going to miss the playoffs. Like
I'm in that chatter.
You think they're going to miss the playoffs now?
I thought their offensive line looked bad.
That's fair.
I love Lamar Jackson, and what I mean by that is I need him to be good. I'm going to lose about $1,000 if he keeps fumbling the football and losing football games. But I don't know. I just don't know if they're good enough, because I know Cleveland lost too, and I know that, you know, Pittsburgh, a lot of people are down on Pittsburgh, but they did have a big win. I watched that game, and this is where you watch a whole game, right? And when you watch that whole game, I was just like, maybe it's because I don't respect the Raiders enough. Maybe the Raiders are better than I think. And maybe they do have a really good defensive front that's going to give teams a lot of problems, whether you have a good offensive line or bad offensive line. But I worry about the Ravens. But I hear what you're saying. When I looked at them before the season,
and they could be 0-2 easily.
I said, God, I do see 10 or 11 wins easily on their schedule, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
No, the one thing you are right about, that offensive line is not good, particularly at, what was it, Villanueva,
yeah.
Right tackle, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that buddy was getting cooked.
And they've got the Chiefs, so easy to imagine them being 0-2 and where they go from there, because you got Lions, Broncos, Colts, Chargers, Bengals, Vikings, like potentially 6 straight winning games. However, also, depending on how that offensive line holds up and how, quite frankly, how Lamar Jackson holds up, because if he has to play hero ball like that and the fumbles keep coming, that is going to be hugely problematic. Whether he
has
wants
been playing
to,
hero ball,
yeah, no,
though.
Absolutely.
Like this is we've gotten to a point where it's hard to ignore, but he's been doing that for a little while, it seems.
And it's not, sometimes I felt like it was because he wanted to. This game at least felt like at times it was because he had to. And I don't know if that trend is going to hold up. And if it does, like, that thing can fall apart. I don't think I'm ready.
It's okay, man. They have Devontae Freeman and Latavius Murray ready to take this on. And then Le'Veon Bell just waiting in the wings. So it's going to be fine. Don't worry about that.
And I become...
I'm joking.
Okay, I know. From the 214, I don't understand this point at all. And I will never understand this point as long as I live. Lamar Jackson is overrated. Overrated by who? He's 24 years old and he's already won an MVP. And there's all kinds of people who think he's trash. Like, I want to know who are these people who perpetually overrate Lamar Jackson, who a lot of people think is like, what, a fringe top 10 quarterback who's already won an MVP? That doesn't feel like...
We did the quarterback rankings yesterday, right? He wasn't in the top 10.
Yeah, so who is he overrated by?
So CBS Sports doesn't have him as a top 10 quarterback in the league, so... Would you say he's still overrated if they have him outside of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL? That's overrating him by putting him 12th. And I do think he's better than that. I think he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. But, I mean, go nationally, and there's not a lot of people that consider him an MVP candidate or consider him, a top 5 quarterback. So I don't think he's overrated anymore. Now, maybe after he won the MVP, you could have that stance and be like, he's not the best quarterback in the NFL. He's not a top 3 quarterback. And I guess you're right, because it's not playing out that way. But I think at this point, if you're saying he's overrated, overrated how? Like,
yes.
If you don't think he's a top 15 quarterback in the NFL, I guess then you would say people are overrating him, because I think he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL.
Overreactions to week one from the 214. Overreaction, people saying Mac and Cheese is going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Trevor Lawrence will do better. And then, of course, I saw the perpetual Trevor Lawrence is already properly rated because he stinks. So there are some people who have a vendetta against Trevor Lawrence.
Do you think
Lawrence.
The overreaction about Urban Meyer is a reality? That he's just a miserable coach and a bad coach?
Yeah. I mean, look.
After game one?
He's obviously a great coach and a crap human being. The question will be, does that translate to the pro level? And I think one of the reasons that bubbled up is because people were like talking before the season even started, like multiple players are unhappy and then they get wiped out by a crappy team. And then you're like, see, told you.
Multiple players unhappy because he's asking them to compete.
Nah, because that ignores the reports that we had that like Urban Meyer is still trying to do the college football thing of like, you know, doing his micromanaging his assistant coaches and losing it after any loss, which is just not going to hold up in the pros. So, like, I think it's more than simply, you know, he's asking a lot from his players.
He is now the betting favorite to be the first coach fired. He has overtaken Matt Nagy as the betting favorite.
Wow.
Which is, and look, and he had to answer that question after one game. Are you going to take the USC job? Huh?
No. Why'd you ask me?
No,
I'm busy.
No, I'm not. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we head to a different kind of football. We go to the pitch to talk with FC Dallas head coach Luchi Gonzalez. Good afternoon, sir.
Guys, how are we doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good. How are you doing, coach? And walk us back through. Obviously, y'all's last match was kind of wild.
Sure, sure. It was more like a hockey score, I guess. But, you know, I have to be, we're going to grab the positives. I have to be positive with the fight, the urgency. We started the game, I felt, with good pressure on the ball, playing positively, attacking, transitioning with immediate reactions and scoring the first goal, you know. And then from there, you know, we started to give up some goals that we had to respond to. So, again, good response by the guys and to come back and tie twice in the second half. But, you know, we've made a mission now going into Houston. We need to shore up defensively. We need to win a game 1-0, if anything. And that takes the collective. It's not just the back line or the goalkeeper. It's 11 players getting behind the ball and making the sacrifice to defend the box and defend the goal. So that's the next step for us to improve that and hopefully have a more complete game that is going to give us a better result. We're not happy with 1 point. We are not satisfied with 1 point. The only result that we're going to be satisfied with at this point in the season is 3 points, and that's our urgency and that's our focus moving forward here against Houston.
Did you feel like you finally saw the best of O'Brien out there this week?
Again, that's another positive we'll grab. You know, you're seeing positive play by Jesus, Pepe, now Hadid O'Brien, scoring goals, getting confidence, a lot of energy from the player that's still adapting to the league. It's a physical, fast league. It's not easy to just to come here and play. He's a player that needs to find space, but I think he's finding it with more confidence now. So for certainly a game that we want to build on with Hadid and the attacking players. We're dangerous. We're scoring, I feel, goals consistently now in the last so many games, but we need that equal balance and emphasis now in the defensive part of the game.
Whenever you talk about getting the win and getting that 3 points, I definitely understand that message to the team and message with us. Do y'all discuss the standings at all or where you're at, or do you just go into every match and you're like, look, you know what it is. We need 3 points.
That's a good question. Sometimes we focus on just the game at hand, be present with the objective and the challenge right in front of us and the opportunity right in front of us. You do get in moments where you have to be more, I'd say, clear in showing the table and showing the reality of the situation. This is the moment now. The last games, pending 9 more games, most of which are all conference games, direct rivals for playoff pole positions. So every game we play now is a final. We need to approach this next game like it is our playoffs. Because if we don't have the urgency now, we're not going to have a playoffs. So certainly it's a bit of both. We know the players look at the table on their own, but we need to emphasize now what points are on the table and how we're going to get them. And the most important points and the only ones that matter right now for us are the ones that are right in front of us against the Derby, which is against Houston.
Luchi, what would you say to fans that are already a little worried about Serie A teams taking interest in Pepe?
Yeah, that's a sincere concern because that's been the trend. And, you know, and from doing good work in terms of the development side and giving opportunities to young players that are earning it and grabbing the opportunities, whether with us or with the U.S. national team. So, you know, Pepe right now is a player that we can count on for this season. And that's the only thing right now as the head coach that I want to focus on and that we need to focus on as a team. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen in 2022. And, you know, he's got a multi-year contract. He just resigned for multiple years. So there is also that chance he's going to be here for years to come. And I know our fan base would love to see him as long as possible wearing an FC Dallas jersey. But certainly there's no guarantee in the way the market works and the business works. And we'll have to see in the offseason, right?
Does it make it tough? I'm just curious, and I know we're talking about the season, but does it make it tough when so many players' dreams are to play overseas?
Look, it's logical. Overseas, you know, you have clubs with bigger budgets, and you have a lot of history and tradition with the different leagues, Serie A, not just Serie A, La Liga, English Premier League, League One. Now you're seeing League One teams investing more than ever, And playing in the Champions League, you know, is a huge goal, I believe, from all players, not just in the U.S., but in the world. So you know, that's logical. Our league is growing. MLS is growing. Liga MX is growing. So this hemisphere is also growing in the game. And I do believe one day players will not want to leave MLS to go to Europe because MLS is where you need to be in the world, in the world-class stage. So we're not there yet, but I know we'll get there one day. And I hope to be alive when that day happens. But, you know, I'm not afraid to lose these players. FC Dallas is not afraid to lose these players because of development. And that just gives me more motivation to make sure we have the next player ready to step up and help this team reach its objectives. So, you know, if our process means we lose players, I think it's a good process. And, you know, one day maybe we don't lose them because we are the ultimate stop for all players in the world. But until that happens, we're not afraid to lose them, and let's keep developing the next one coming through to do the job.
Really appreciate that insightful answer, Coach. And obviously we're hoping y'all pick up the 3 points against Houston.
Appreciate that, guys. Let's go FC Dallas.
All right. There is FC Dallas head coach Luchy Gonzalez right here on The Fan. Remember, want to check out that match against Houston Saturday night. Go to fcdallas.com/stream if you want to watch that online. We're the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. This crosstalk going to be brought to you by our good folks at D&M Leasing. And don't ever forget, all of our guests are brought to you on the Romeo's Pizza Hotline. Get game-winning pizza delivery and takeout at romeospizza.com. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Hagee. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. I'm hoping that this is going to be a fair question. Broadus, can I ask you a personal question?
Yes, sir.
Did you, when you were going to get divorced, did you think it was
Holy crap.
Which time? Holy hear me out.
Crap.
God. Did you view it as a sad thing or a time for celebration?
The first one.
That would be sad.
I think they both were sad because the first one was really me just wanting to go win a Super Bowl.
Okay, and that was really sad.
Yeah, the second one was sad. But the first one was, and I'll never forget this. My first wife, Carol, when she signed that paper in Green Bay, she looked at me and she says, "You go win that Super Bowl now." And she knew. She knew because she was interested in a 9-to-5 guy, and I was a 5-to-9 guy. And I was 27 years old, and we'd been married a while. But she knew. She just knew that once I got in the NFL, and that part of it, I apologize to her every day about that.
Yeah.
And, well, every time, not every day, but anytime I ever, I'm like, listen, I am sorry. But in the second one, there's things that happen along the way. It's not easy being married. It's tough. It's tough because, you know, people nowadays can, they have their own careers. They have success. I mean, my second wife was far more successful at business than me. And so, you know, they have lives and, you know, they want to live life and, it, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes.
Well, I appreciate that heartfelt answer. I have to admit.
Was it heartfelt or I just being honest about it?
Both. Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. Why the hell did you ask?
I'll tell you, this didn't quite work out how I thought it was going to. In my mind, you were going to be like, I think we're both good with it.
Maybe do a little research first. Next time.
Yeah, that's fair.
So you thought I was going to give like a funny answer or something to it?
I thought it was possible.
Oh man, it was miserable. I was so happy.
I have a question for you.
I went out with Zach. I went out with Wolchuk to the gentleman's club. We hung out. I spent everything I had.
Okay, Mark, that's actually why
you had a drinking problem early in your 20s. Was it more sad or fun?
Fat as hell, and it hurt every day when I woke up.
You felt like you said you weren't going to drink again.
Why didn't you ask me? I didn't know what you were trying to do.
I should have.
I was trying to be honest with folks out there.
No, I appreciate
that. There might be people going through that.
I apologize for everything that's happened.
Guys, I know y'all are all down on Kevin right now.
Yes.
There is a reason.
There is a reason he asked this question.
Oh, okay.
He probably should have thrown that out there first.
Yeah. There's a guy who celebrated, his friends celebrated for him at the Giants game. They put up on the Jumbotron, "Happy Divorce, Max."
Couldn't have done this story without asking Brian about his personal beats.
I don't feel bad.
They asked me about my colonoscopy yesterday. It was all good.
A lot of mistakes were made mostly by me.
Yeah, usually you're pretty good about your show prep. You sucked right then.
Have you ever been sitting next to the part
of the colon part or not eating for like 24 hours?
No, the not eating part.
And taking that drink, the diarrhea,
but you feel light, Mike. You feel really light.
Text him next time and be like, "Hey, are you okay discussing this on air?" And just see.
Mike, you remember when you knew you'd never get back to the bigs? Was that like a celebration or?
Yeah, it was depressing.
Mike, when they told you weren't any good and you couldn't pitch anymore, how did you feel about that?
Horrible. Thought about doing roids. Should've. Like all kinds of different horrible thoughts enter your head.
You've
been a failure.
Buddy Andy?
Dreamed about it since 5 years old. You somewhat accomplished it, but don't really get close to accomplishing it.
Thanks, Hagee, for asking Mike that question. God.
So...
It's coming up on the show.
What do you guys want to talk about?
So it was on the Jumbotron, and did he get mad about it? What happened?
No, he thought it was amazing, and people brought it up on social media, and he DM'd this reporter who posted it up and said, "Hey, Carmen, thanks for sharing. My friends got this for me as a surprise. Funny to see it blowing up." And she said, "Oh, my gosh, are you the Max from the Jumbotron?" So I definitely misjudged. I thought this was going to be entertaining. I apologize.
Do you think that all divorced couples end up, they're sad about it and walk away? Because I was at a restaurant one night, and there was this couple partying their asses off.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, "What is going on?" And they were like, "We're celebrating our divorce now together."
And this is maybe not...
"Are y'all going to hit it one more time, too? Like, what's going to happen?"
Of course. Everybody backslides.
I think they'd take home a man and woman together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
say upside down pineapple life.
What
the hell does that mean?
That's the sign for swingers.
This might not be the best comedian to reference anymore. But Louis C.K. said everyone celebrates when they get a divorce. He's like, "There's like two sad divorces in the history of the world. Everybody else is like good."
I think a lot of people are depressed because it feels like a failure. There's religious implications. Mm-hmm, there's a big check that comes along with it. Yeah. Your kids aren't staying in your house.
Yeah.
It's horrible. You know, I think you probably, if you're young and your bros miss you because they're like 26. You got married at 23, and now you're like, this is the best. I get to go back to being a college drunk idiot. Those married people, they're celebrating. Like, people that have actually entered adulthood and started raising a family, it's miserable. You don't recover for it from like 2 years.
Yeah, Hagee.
All right, so I have a football question. If Hagee, you want me to do better here? I've enjoyed you guys.
Gavin was here to explain that. Yeah.
How Trayvon?
Thanks,
Diggs,
Gavin. Good job. That's kind of how I felt.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, radio.
Put him on Mike Williams.
That's
or
what I would do.
You know, I have this.
What are you doing over there?
I have this question.
Quartz Radio with Mike.
Oh, sure. This is quality
now that
work.
You know. If you're Dan Quinn, you're sitting there yesterday afternoon after the news and today, and you're like, I mean, it's going to be pretty much impossible to get pressure with just sending four for at least 2 months.
You
want to
divorce your pass rushers?
Come on!
So how many times do you want to take the risk of saying, we got to send six or seven, and I'm going to put this secondary in a position for 3 seconds. They are manned up until I'm hoping one of the seven can affect the quarterback to make a bad decision. Or do you go, you know what, screw it, we ain't going to get pressure with four at times. I'm only going to send two or three and send eight or nine back in coverage, and eventually the quarterback has to throw the ball.
Isn't that how Parcells beat the Bills the first time?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Like, how many times do you have to, like, as my pitching coach would say, Bassick, you did a good job of trick effing him.
Yeah.
How many times does Dan Quinn now have to trick F?
Oh, I talked about this before the season even started because of what's going on at corner. You know, I thought it was smoke and mirrors were some of the things that he was going to have to do. So, yeah, that whole idea, do you want a slow death or a quick death? That's what you got to figure out there. And, you know, with the thing when I watched and Jeff, I know, jumped into the All 22 today himself with the Chargers, the football team has got a really good front seven. They didn't get close to this guy one time, maybe, you know, but that's the problem you run into is like, do you need to pressure this guy or do you need to just play coverage and hope for the best? So I again, what do you want? Slow death?
Hard part is he's really good. And
he moves.
Like, right.
Well,
we've now reached a point in the NFL where most of the good quarterbacks can really, really move. Yeah. So you send five or six and he takes off and it's like, all right, we still didn't get home. Yeah. Now what?
Yeah.
So I think you gotta pick your spots. And even when you do, for instance, there's a play where Washington, they called the perfect defensive play. Herbert is faking a handoff to his left, so he cannot see what's happening to his right. And that slot corner's blitzing from his back. So he fakes the handoff. He turns around like he's going to roll out, and he goes, oh, crap. And off his back foot, he just launches a 25-yard rope on an out route. So the quarterback's really good. He can escape. He's got a good arm.
And you probably saw the pass he threw to Williams down the sideline there where it was between the corner and the safety. I mean, he's not afraid to just say, I'm this accurate and I can make this happen.
You bought some good cards, Mike.
Yeah.
You bought some good cards, I think. Dude's pretty good.
Good. Nobody else buy anymore. Prices keep going up too much.
Oh, sell him. This is going to be the end of him this weekend. We're going to go get him. Just score 30. What are you talking about? None of this crap matters. Go score.
Does 30 do it?
Maybe, because they're not explosive. They're good. They're not explosive. Like, Keenan Allen doesn't run fast. Mike Williams doesn't run fast.
None of those guys run fast.
But they get separation.
Keenan Allen will get separation. Yeah. Jared Cook can't run. Yeah. Their tight end. Like, he looks like he's a left guard when he's running routes. So, like, they're good, and they'll move the ball, but I don't think they're going to score in bunches. Their corners aren't very good.
Yeah.
So, if Bosa doesn't wreck the game, you can win.
Asante Samuel Jr. forever.
Tear his ass up.
Do it. I dare you.
Rookie corner on Amari Cooper or CeeDee Lamb?
Yeah, he's
screwed.
Yeah. Back to you, Kevin.
Nope. What do you guys got coming up on the show today?
Pure gold as always. Hagee, thanks for asking. Anything specific?
What?
Amari Cooper in the four.
Woo! All right. Looking forward to that.
I've never seen you this way.
Yeah, really.
He shook up.
Really screwed all of this up. And I
apologize. Is there something you need to tell us that's going on at home?
No.
Ask Brian for some details when we go to break.
No. There's plenty of jokes inside my head that I think are going to be great. And then I say them out loud.
Yeah.
And that's what you did with the segment.
All right, well, I know how we're going to kick off Forgiveness Friday tomorrow. I really, really got a strong feeling for that.
And my buddy's an idiot.
Yep. My buddy's an idiot. Me when I'm talking. Roll home for the G-Bag Nation. Amari Cooper in the 4 o'clock hour. That's going to be outstanding. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Come back tomorrow for Corey and Mike and Reggie. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
It's time to split up, Kevin.
Nope. Oh,
oh, oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.